Up to this point, he had 21 contacts for record, several not for record, and 9 photographic events, all in under 4 months' time. And these events took place in many different places, some very remote, difficult, and time-consuming to get to on his moped. His friends and acquaintances were, by now, taking up nearly every day, and the evenings too, trying to follow what was going on, and he has had to write down hundreds of pages of notes during the same time. He has had the expenses of film and developing a large number of pictures, supplies to keep going, the extra expenses of visitors using up what little resource he had, and the expense of always running all over the place to deliver and pick up film for processing, meeting the extraterrestrials, and carrying out various errands given him, and still kept his friends from becoming impatient and angry with him. We have come to agree that his objectives were well justified. In the 22nd contact on the 28th of May 1975, Meyer offered an objection to the form of the contact notes and wanted to improve on them in the future. Meyer said, "I want to discuss something which actually we should have discussed a long time ago. After our contacts, you transmit to me our conversations as only the defined points. You are transmitting to me only the main conversation, while you never send with it the final words, the leaving, the actual private matters, and the welcome as well. The greetings, leavings, and purely private things might not be important for the humans in this mission, but we have discussed some things which might be of interest to my fellow creatures. Here I mean those concerns which do not fall into my obligation of silence. Can you not change this?" Sannyasi says, "If this is your desire, then of course I can, but I did not want to trouble you with too much work. Some private mission discussed things do not really belong in the reports, and some parts cannot be revealed at all, but I could transmit the other matters as well." Meyer says, "I must agree, and I will readily take up the additional work for me." Sannyasi said, "As you want it, and these concerns I like to accord to your wishes." Meyer says, "Thank you, Sannyasi. Can you explain to me once now why your thought transmissions at a later point in time always appear stereotyped inside me, and why no repeats of any words or sentences appear?" What does he mean by that? "In your transmissions, I often have very great troubles with the writing, as you just simply keep dictating and do never repeat even one single word. Your report transmissions reach into my consciousness as we have done the conversation. Witnesses who have observed the reception of these transmissions report that the writing comes very rapidly and uninterruptedly in a steady cadence right through to the end of the message. Now I have a question for George Green. When the handbook for the new paradigm was transmitted telepathically to him, did they also wire in his brain to the typewriter so that he could type 150 words a minute? Now back to the script." Then, following a serious argument about the withholding of certain information, and Sannyasi's suggestion that some information might have to be erased from Meyer's mind, he became irate and threatened to break off all contacts with them forever if they tried such a thing. A compromise was eventually reached. This was reported in detail in the preliminary report. A 23rd contact on the 3rd of June, 1975, was primarily a discussion of law and punishment, with an explanation that natural law was everlasting, but that institutional law and associated punishments were as changeable as the times themselves, and only half valid for their own period. As a humanity advances, the forms of punishment become more humane. Meyer says, "Fantastic, but our mankind in Earth is still too disunited and too corrupt for such a form." Sannyasi says, "I already told you so." Meyer says, "But during your explanation, I had a quite fantastic thought. Could it be that in ancient times our Earth as well has served as an exile planet?" Sannyasi says, "Yes, surely your assumption is correct. In very ancient times, different fallible creatures were exiled from different worlds in this universe to your Earth, as well as from our race also. continue the reading now. In the 24th contact on the 7th of June, 1975, Sannyasi launched into a monograph on nature, on knowledge and wisdom in evolution. Sannyasi said, "But I have still another matter which I want to announce to you. All truth and knowledge has remained transmitted and is preserved up to the present epoch, though it may be forgotten, disregarded, and lost by the earth human. And as truth, knowledge, wisdom, and love, and all power of the Spirit are unchangeable and constant, and the same in the present, this all must be conceived there and continue up. In other words, truth, knowledge, wisdom, love, etc., must simply be now brought together again, what you call by an old for you language, the backward relating religion, should for this case, and what has to be done by the same old language, be called religion." What does that mean? What in the world does that mean? This means that all has to be brought together again, which is to be considered religiously, but not religiously. In consequence, the already existing materials should be newly assembled to lead into the future. After the religion must begin the way of evolution, which has a twofold meaning. You know one meaning of evolution as development and unfolding in the sense of something already existing, but still concealed that must develop, which in a spiritual sense means must rise from the subconscious toward the conscious. I don't know what she's talking about. The second meaning of this term has been lost to you for a long time, namely that something not yet existing is explored, developed, and unfolded and becomes. And because this meaning of evolution was lost, man lives under the false impression that evolving material already exists to be unfolded and developed. The indwelling spirit has stored only those matters and things which it collected in the course of its material existence in material bodies and lives. This, according to your understanding, is very much, but in truth, very little. Well, you lost me a long time ago, and I have not caught up. During innumerable further lives, the spirit must explore further, must search, and must find. Thus he must assemble further knowledge, recognitions, and experiences, which then establish themselves in him as faculties. Because the spirit continues after the material death of the body and exists within spheres of living of other worlds, it works upon the achieved results of the other lives and fixes these results inside it in what you call the subconscious. Upon taking up the human form of life again, the obtained knowledge and faculty is anchored in the subconscious and must evolve slowly in the human form of life to help in new lessons and recognitions towards developing conscious talents. Then Meyer says, "Then I still want to give you another question. What is the situation with Mars and Venus and other planets?" Sannyasi says, "There are really existing forms of life there, but they are of other values completely than the Earth being assumes. But as you speak of Mars during the last days, I have been there, and I found something nice. I have brought it here with me for you. This is a larger piece of ruby in zoisite matrix, whatever that is. I have worked on it only gently while loosening it out," and then she gives the ruby to Meyer. Wow, that's got to be worth a fortune, coming from Mars. Meyer, "Many thanks, Sannyasi. This is fantastically pretty." Sannyasi, "Surely, but keep it for yourself alone. The next I have one here is one piece of my home world, which a friend has brought along. It is the piece according to the wish of your friend, which you can give to him." Meyer says, "Again, many thanks, Sannyasi. Certainly he will be delighted. Could you just for my own collection bring along still a piece of malachite and an emerald?" Sannyasi says, "Surely, but I won't bring the emerald in pure form, as well as no other things of precious values. The reasons lie within your materialistic form of world. The Pleiadians had given Meyer a diamond crystal once before to sell to get some needed money, and it got him into considerable trouble with the authorities, because he had no registration or bill of sale to show how he came to have it in his possession." Meyer said, "I already understand, but nevertheless, I'm thankful to you. But now I must say that I should leave, for my way home is very long, and at 12 o'clock I necessarily must be home. The 25th contact took place at 1:46 a.m. on the 16th of June, 1975. Meyer was first advised that because of recent new developments, the demonstration would have to be modified some, but that the Pleiadians still would not screen the ship from the sight of others. Meyer was also advised to get attention so that he could inform the public of an urgent matter that needed attention. That matter pertained to the progressive destruction of our ozone belt, which continues to deteriorate more and more. They advised him to prepare a flyer and send it to all the newspapers and information media, and to cry out this menacing danger from the rooftops. Such a waste of time. The newspapers would ignore it. Hollering from the rooftops would make him look like a nut. He was also to advise that the atomic danger had increased manyfold. Meyer says, "You can talk so easily, Sannyasi. As first I got rebuked that everything I write on paper is too harsh. In the other hand, always the silly question arises, why you should not assist us financially? Indeed, I sometimes could cry and weep, for I consider such things confoundedly unreasonable. I have at times considered simply throwing everything away and go doing some normal daily work. For first, I am then away from my financial sorrows, and for second, I do not have to answer unlogical questions." Sannyasi says, "The execution of your task is within your own consideration. If you want to retreat, then this would be unfortunate. On the other hand, we don't tie you by force or coercion, and you are free to decide. Consider, however, that only a very few Earth humans have similar opportunity, and many of these lack the courage to reveal the matters openly. As a human being, it is your duty to tell what you know and to help your fellow creatures this way. You did know from the beginning that it would be difficult and that others would not just stand by for helping you. In consequence, I consider that you think somehow too easily and too early about ending our concerns. I have..." Meyer interrupts her and says, "You really talk easily." And Sannyasi says, "Please let me speak until the end. I see you're being angry because the success with help is not as great as you expected. There is no need for your anger. Your fellow creatures have to learn first. In your help, I thus want to explain that you should once more deliberate it all very thoroughly and calmly before taking a negative decision. You have the very troublesome preparation work for those who will come after your time. Consider all very thoroughly until you arrive at a decision. Rising not alone from rage, to the illogical questions concerning financial help, they should consider that we have no means of currency as used on Earth. Currency could be a basket of apples. Even if we wanted to, we could not satisfy your financial means, which you call money. Fortune plays, etc., will never serve, for these are extraordinarily evil. A third important point is that we do not allow ourselves to be provoked by your speeches and questions, because this earth is not your home, not ours, and as far as we are here and want to help the earth human within this development, then this corresponds to an obligation which we have imposed upon ourselves and is not a must. Our mission is a voluntary self-obligation. This is from our side, to which is added to your side, that the earth being must trouble himself and must contribute his own money also. Continuing, the earth human must take upon himself a certain obligation and bear certain things for himself. It is wrong of him to take out help and assistance without contributing something therefor. If the earth human acts according to the principle that taking is better than giving, then he will not release himself from his malicious egoism. Well, that's a profound statement. Egoism is malicious, and in order to release yourself from malicious egoism, you have to accept that giving is better than receiving. What if everyone had that philosophy? Someone should start an organization. There's no money in this society. Everyone gets a place to live, everyone gets food to eat, and everyone produces something valuable, which the leaders then would take in exchange for those things that are needed, like food, clothing, and shelter. And we get rid of this money system. Just an idea. And the Earthman is egotistical, one and enemas. What does that mean? Thus, exploitation is written in capital letters on your world. Well, you can say that again. Meyer says, that is confoundedly clear, Sannyasi. I still have some further questions I want. And she interrupts him. By regret, I cannot accept them, for I still have to perform some things. You can ask your questions next time. Meyer responds, of course, as you wish. Can you tell me at least a little better point in time for the now diminished demonstration? Sannyasi says, I have told you already that I cannot do that because of certain reasons, and I do not want to tell these reasons more clearly. It will be at that point in time when I have to go away for some time. In a restricted part of an earlier contact, Meyer was given a detailed description of the damage to the ozone layer surrounding our Earth as a result of our technological age, especially the atomic bombs. This was reported in detail beginning on page 56 of the preliminary report of investigation. But though the contact report was restricted at that time, Meyer was urged to bring the matter to the attention of a Professor Michael McElroy of Harvard University in the United States, who the Pleiadians said is among the foremost researchers on this subject. I wonder if they ever met him. I'd like to see the first meeting, see how shocked he is. They further said, because this message and others will be very important for the survival of all life forms on Earth. So Meyer is now being urged more directly to get attention so that his announcement of this danger will not escape notice. And this is one reason for E.T.'s bold move to demonstrate their ships in front of other witnesses. That message was so important that we have decided to repeat it here. Quote, for many tens of years, we have been studying all phases of your world. The ceaseless change goes on, and two, there are very dangerous developments. For many years, a dangerous change has been taking place in your stratosphere that has a deadly portent for all earthly life. An increasing decay in the ozone belt of the stratosphere is being caused by the continuous production of ozone-destroying chemical substances that rise as gas into the stratosphere and damage the ozone belt. Especially destructive is the Brom gas that rises into the ionosphere and slowly disintegrates it. Up to now, the average loss is 6.38%. That is a percentage loss that for all life forms is damaging and beginning to cause mutations. This percentage was reached in a time of 60 years only. Especially there are the Brom gas substances that slowly destroy the ozone belt, as I have mentioned. Because of that, more and more ultraviolet rays from the sun come into the Earth atmosphere. They will affect all life forms. In over 20 different areas, the ozone belt is already dangerous. In 3 different areas, there is a danger that it will break up completely in a few tens of years if the production and release of the destructive factors is not arrested. If this is not done by some means, holes will be opened in the protective shield, and the unshielded ultraviolet rays will break into your atmosphere and produce slow and torturous death for all life. Everything entering the unshielded area from the hole will be destroyed. Now, do you really think the government doesn't know this? Of course they do. Why are they allowing it? Because those brom gases come from petroleum products, and they're making a killing off the petroleum products. They have free energy. They won't allow us to have it because they're trying to squeeze all the dollars they can out of the petroleum products, because they took many years to get into a position where they had a monopoly on them, and they don't want to let go of the profits. Even if it means wiping out all the life on Earth, they're going to get those profits no matter what. Back to the script. Release of the destructive chemical substances comes mainly from explosion motors and from material-destroying processes of all kinds, like atom splitting and other processes like that. So our nuclear power plants are killing the ozone, and explosion motors, that means combustion engines, that means all cars and trucks, all diesel and gasoline motors. The explosion motors means burning all those fossil fuels. This has to end. Why doesn't it end? Greed, selfishness, profits, and they're taking us to the brink of extinction. Back to the script. They have been produced in great mass since 1945 throughout the world, and every kind of life is being given a changing kick. Destructive chemical gases are also being released from things of daily life because each aerosol spray can releases brom gas and other chemicals. They rise into the stratosphere and slowly but systematically destroy it. That's the end of the quote. Remember, the government had a big push towards getting rid of the aerosol cans, no hydrofluorocarbons or whatever it was, HFCs in those cans. And you would think that they knew that the fossil fuels were doing more damage. The number one cause of ozone disintegration is jet fuel. And do you think they would ever consider stopping jet flights? No way. They have means of transportation that are much faster than jet flight. They go underground. They're not even going to let us know about it because it's their own private transportation means. These Pleiadians should have a news channel because I would like to watch their news. This is pretty interesting. Quote, researchers and scientists in several countries are discovering this destructive loss of the ozone belt caused by chemicals, especially the brom gases, but now in their unaccountable delusion for power, are turning this knowledge to war technical use. Just recently, they are preparing to build rocket bodies to carry these destructive brom substances high into the stratosphere to be exploded there, following which very gigantic holes will be rent in the ozone belt, letting unfiltered ultraviolet rays into the atmosphere. Such a hole can close up again only very slowly, and this process will take many hundreds of years after these activities are discontinued. This is insanity. Also to be considered is the fact that the ozone belt wanders as it circulates. These people are really stupid. I hope the opening is right over their house and it kills their whole family. A hole in the protective ozone layer will not only affect a particular area, but its wandering will affect a very wide area. Your stupid scientists are aware of this situation, but the large population is not, unquote. Quote, the duty of your group is to bring this to the attention of governments and scientists and make them aware of the dangers and the need for control. Yeah, right. You're going to write to them and tell them about this, and they're going to say, how do you know? Are you a meteorologist? What is your scientific background? This is ridiculous. Aliens can't come up with a better idea than that. What they need to do is grab the microphone and a television camera and call a press conference and say, we are the Pleiadians, and we have a message for you, Earth people. Your leaders are selfish and greedy, and they're driving you to extinction, and here's our facts. Now you have some credibility. Back to the script. It is in the interest of all humanity and all life on Earth that there be agreements between all countries to stop this deadly insanity. The problem is we have a handful of people who control everything, and no matter what countries agree to, these people defy all laws. They're above the law. This is dreaming. Back to the script. In this respect, I refer you to Michael McElroy of Harvard University in the United States, who is among the foremost researchers on this subject. Well, I would like to talk to Michael McElroy, and I'd like to ask him what has been done and what does the government know, and I'd like to read his research conclusions, because this book was written a long time ago, and I don't see any change in the use of fossil fuels or the bromine gases. We have more jet flights today than ever. They don't care about the ozone. There's more skin cancer than ever. They're not concerned. They probably have a cure for skin cancer, but the rest of us have to pay Big Pharma. Edward Meyer made copies of that message and sent one to Michael McElroy at the address provided by those should be ET visitors. He never heard from McElroy, but this letter never came back either. He also sent copies to the Secretary General of the United Nations. Oh, that'll do a lot of good. You might as well send it directly to the Illuminati. and to various departments of his own government and to various local newspapers. None of them ever responded to any attempts at follow-up. In response to subsequent questions by Meyer, the ETs added the following information. The industrial gases most concerned are heavy and rise slowly, some taking years to reach the ozone layer. They pick up one or more ions from the ozone belt and changing chemistry as well as weight, slowly fall back to the surface, carrying the ions with them. This has gone on since the beginning of our industrial age, but has been increasing on a science scale with our rapid rate of industrialization and the further contamination by vehicles of all kinds, and most disastrously, jet aircraft. I said it earlier because I had read it before, and here it is in this book. Most disastrously is jet aircraft fuel. The burning of the jet fuel, kerosene, is the most damaging. Fat chance we're going to get them to stop pumping oil out of the ground so they can get the jet fuel. This was announced to Meyer in early 1975, 37 years ago. This is the end of May 2012. And back in 1975, they said that they measured over 6% loss. It was 6.38, as I recall, and that was the current loss, not counting the dangerous gases already rising, some of which would take years to get there. They estimated that if we were able to stop all the contamination at that time, the rising gases could deplete the ionosphere by another 10% or more. That's more than double. Enough to produce mutations of all living things.